It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Open enrollment is underway through the Affordable Care Act Health Insurance Marketplace.
Last year, a record-setting 254,000 Wisconsinites signed up for health insurance plans on the exchange during this period.
But according to the most recent State Health Department survey from 2022, more than 380,000 Wisconsin residents lack health coverage for at least part of the year.
Julie Appleby covers all aspects of health insurance. A senior correspondent at KFF Health News joins us now to talk about coverage through the Affordable Care Act and new developments in this open enrollment period. Julie, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thanks for having me on.
Well, let's first get to the basics here. How long does the open enrollment period go, and when will their health insurance coverage start when you purchase a plan?
Yeah, great question. So open enrollment in most states, including Wisconsin, started on November 1st and it goes through January 15th. But if you want coverage that starts on January 1, which most people do because it's kind of like a calendar year thing, you need to sign up by December 15th.
At the Affordable Care Act, it allows a variety of plans with different levels of coverage. How do people know what's the right amount of coverage for them?
Right. This is a really individual question, and it's super complex, right? There's four different sort of metal tiers from bronze to platinum, and there's, silver and gold in between. So it can be a very complicated decision. What a lot of experts say is that people should go on healthcare.gov. You can use the tools on there to enter in your information. There's different calculators. You can try to figure out how often you use care, what's your deductible going to be, what's your premium, and not to look just at the premium, but really consider those deductibles and co-payments that you've got to make when you go to the doctor or hospital. A lot of people these days turn to a broker or some other kind of assister to get help in sorting these things out. And if you don't have one, you can go on the healthcare.gov website, which is the official federal marketplace that Wisconsin uses. And there's a little button on there you can click that says find local help. Mm-hmm. And you can put in your zip code, for example. And then there's a couple of different kinds of help. You can have somebody either contact you, or you can just get a list of places that you can contact. And these could be brokers that are helping you buy insurance, or they could be something called assisters or navigators, which are non-commission paid folks that are certified and trained to help people sort through some of this complexity. And again, you can find the names or organizations that are offering those services in your area by using the Find Local Help button on healthcare.gov.
Right, because Wisconsin launched a healthcare navigator program in 2020. It's called WisCovered. Do you find that these programs are helpful?
I think a lot of people say that they are helpful. To be fair, I think right now, most of the active enrollments that happen nationwide are done through brokers, but a lot of people use the navigators, and they are a free service. There's no charge to people for using them, and they can help you sort through some of these questions.
So in terms of the independent brokers, why would you go to a broker if you're confused by insurance offerings, and what does the broker get out of it?
The broker will probably sit down and talk with you about, what kind of medical care are you using? How often do you go? Do you take specific drugs? Do you want specific doctors in your network? All of these things you could try to research yourself for sure on healthcare.gov and going through that. But it's just a way to help people narrow down the choices. And I was just looking up, Wisconsin has about 13 insurers, which is higher than the national average. So in addition to the four different types of metal levels, there's 13 different insurers. So you're faced with an array of choices. So a broker sits down and talks with people about that. They can walk them through the application process. They can fill out the application. And then when you're on that application process, it determines based on your income whether you qualify for a premium subsidy, and most people do. Now, the brokers, consumers don't pay the brokers. The brokers are paid by the insurers, and they get a commission, which it varies, but on average, I'm told it's about $25 a month per person that they enroll. So it's not a huge amount, but that's the commission that they make. And again, it's paid by the insurer. It doesn't affect people's premium costs.
Julie, young people can continue getting health coverage through their parents until they turn 26. What advice do you have for someone shopping for health insurance for the first time?
Again, I think that people really need to sit down and really think about their healthcare usage, where what doctors and hospitals they want in their network. They should check that. You can do that on through healthcare.gov. You can click through and try to find the networks. Young people are going to have lower prices because the premiums are set based on an age range. So under the Affordable Care Act, insurers can charge older people up to three times more than younger people. So the premiums are going to be lower for younger people. And if their income is lower, they also get a bigger subsidy. So all of those things combined, many, many people right now have zero premium plans. They don't pay a lot. But again, watch those deductibles. Some of them are could be quite high. So people have to compare that across plans.
Julie Appleby with us, senior correspondent at KFF Health News, as we talk about the open enrollment period underway through the Affordable Care Act marketplace, new developments, and with purchasing these health insurance plans. Julie, let's talk about these enhanced subsidies. They're set to expire for health coverage at the end of 2025 unless lawmakers renew them. And the ACA's enhanced subsidies help low-income people afford health plans. You mentioned zero premium coverage qualifying for that. With the re-election of President Trump, who's historically opposed the Affordable Care Act, what do you expect to happen with these subsidies?
First of all, let's just say for 2025, nothing's going to happen. So 2025, people who are enrolling now for their plans and picking and choosing plans that start, in January or a little bit later in the year, those plans and the premium costs and the subsidies connected with them are not going to change for the plan year, unless their income changes. If they have a substantial increase or decrease in their incomes, they're supposed to report that, and that could affect their subsidy amount. But again, the 2025 subsidies won't change, but most people do expect that the discussion around these enhanced subsidies will be a big deal in the next Congress. Let's just back up a little bit. These subsidies were put in place under during the COVID era through the American Rescue Plan and the Inflation Reduction Act. They basically provide additional percentage subsidies to folks who are at the lower end of the income, and it lifted the upper income cap. So a lot more middle income people qualify for them. So a family of three making more than four times the federal poverty level, which this year was around $103,280 for a family of three, would still qualify for some level of subsidy, but only after they pay about 8.5% of their household income. So those are the subsidies. The subsidies have helped most people, the vast majority of people. In fact, something like 20.1 million people who are covered this year get these enhanced subsidies. So the big question is going to be what is Congress going to do about whether or not they renew them? These are costly. It's something like $335 billion over 10 years. So any discussion of trying to offset other tax cuts is going to come up with, well, we're going to get the money, and this is also going to be expensive. So will this continue or not? That's a big question. But right now, the subsidies are estimated by KFF to lower premiums for folks by about 44% on average around the country. So it's a lot. And in Wisconsin, if the subsidies expire, there are some estimates that say it could raise premiums by about 85% in 2026. So this could be a huge discussion politically in the coming year.
Keeping an eye on that. Scams have been reported where people are switched from one plan to another without giving permission. How big of a problem is this?
We've been writing about this all year, and there's been about 250,000 or so complaints about this year. People get enrolled without their express permission. The regulators have cracked down a little bit. They are now requiring, in some cases, that if the change is going to be made to an existing policy, or somebody's going to be enrolled in a different plan for some reason, and there's an agent that's affiliated with that plan, but the person comes in and wants to use a different agent, or a different agent calls in and says they want to do it, they have to do a three-way call now with the consumer, their agent, and the healthcare.gov, just to make sure that consumer really does want to change their plan. So this could perhaps slow things down a little bit in the enrollment process for some people this year. So agents are telling me that, don't wait till the last minute to sign up. Get in touch with your agent, especially if you want to make some changes, because you might have to do a three-way call. But I'm not hearing a lot of complaints yet that of a long time delay, but this is something they're trying to thwart because it's been a problem for folks when they suddenly find out they're not enrolled in the plan they thought they were in and they've been switched to something else.
You've also looked into how consumers are pursued on social media with misleading ads promising government subsidies. What do you find there?
Yeah, that's sort of linked to this same situation. There's a lot of ads out there, and maybe they've cut back a little bit now, but advertising things that may be sounding just a little too good to be true. Things like, oh, you can get a $6,400 a month credit to help you buy groceries and gas and that kind of thing. That's just not correct. Nobody's getting money like that for everyday expenses. What those might be are the subsidies we just spoke about, but people don't get those subsidies directly. They go to the insurer. So just the health experts I spoke to say, just be very cautious when you see some of these ads like this online. If somebody reaches out to you and offers you some kind of a gift card or something like that, but they want your information about your income or your coverage, be very cautious. Don't click on these ads. Go to healthcare.gov. Even Googling Obamacare or Googling ACA plans might not pull up the correct website. So always go to healthcare.gov and start there and looking for coverage. So that's those are some of the concerns that people have about switching and just being very careful with responding to some of these ads or telephone calls that you get.
Well, Julie, thank you so much for the tips. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Julie Appleby is a senior correspondent at KFF Health News, reporting on all aspects of health insurance. We've been talking about the open enrollment period on healthcare.gov that is underway, and it runs through January 15th.